about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hey, I finally got it timed right. Take a drink of water, not whiskey, as it starts playing, and then gives me time to end it just right. That worked out just good. Well, happy Tuesday to everybody. It's Heyday Tuesdays here on the Today in Ag show. Spencer Smith will be in here later with his planter tip of the week for his company, 4AG, not 4AG, 4AG. And it's 93 degrees. Heat index is 96. Humidity is at 41%. The old people baling this morning, their time's just about up. It's getting ready to get too dry if it isn't already. Winds at out of the south-southwest at 19 miles an hour with gusts up to 27. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you later on in the show. Looks like we got a, according to all the weather stations, we got a 100% chance of rain anywhere in southwestern Oklahoma, Beckham County, south towards the Red River. Mesonet showing 30%. So we'll see what happens. But everybody is warning that if there's a storm pops up out in Texas Panhandle and moves this direction, it's going to have some pretty severe straight line winds with it. So get your stuff ready. Be prepared just in case it does happen, and hope we get some rain out of it. All kinds of things going on today. Today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour today, and I'm going to go over some AI and stuff and some breeding stuff next segment after the grain report. So please don't go nowhere. You want to listen to this? It's good stuff. Currently, let's check out the grain markets right now and refresh it. I got a lot of computers going on in here, so I got to make sure I refresh just to make sure it's up to date. Live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs are all down today. June for live cattle, 132.17. August, 134.17. October, 141.55, and December is 147.70. May, feeder cattle, 159.02. August, 172.47. Lean hogs for May, 165. June, 135. And July is 103.27 on that. Cotton's strolling in there around 143 mark per pound. Looks like natural gas is still hanging down there in the low $7 range. Oil's below 100. I don't know if that's good news or bad news, because I'm telling you, I'm sick of this record high diesel and gas too. Don't get me wrong. But, man, $5 and something cents a gallon for fuel. Just crazy. And I could blame it on a lot of things, but I'll just keep my mouth shut. Anyway, hard red winter wheat cash grain prices in Oklahoma, $11.03 a bushel. Corn's back up above the $8 mark. It was down below $7 this morning, and it's at $8.04. Milo, $7.62, and soybeans at $15.12 a bushel. Well, let's see what's causing all this. Soybeans and grains were higher in overnight trading as the pace of planting remains well behind normal. About 22% of the U.S. corn crop was planted as of Sunday, well behind the prior five-year average of 50%. In Iowa, only 14% was sown, and in Illinois, 15% was in the ground, well behind their averages of 63% and 58% for this time of the year. Some 12% of the U.S. soybean crop was planted as of the start of the week. That's half the normal 24%. Iowa growers had only 7% of their soybeans in the ground, behind the normal 34%, while Illinois producers only planted 11%, and that's way below their 30%. As we all know, Iowa and Illinois are the biggest soybean and corn producers in the United States, according to a government data. By the start of the week, about 3% of the soybeans have emerged behind the, that's behind the 4% average, so not too bad. Only 5% of corn was emerged. That's well below the normal 15%. Spring wheat was also behind, with only 27% planted, missing the average of 47%. The U.S. winter crop, meanwhile, improved week to week, with 29% rated good or excellent. That's up from 27% a week earlier. I'm guessing that's in northern Kansas or Nebraska somewhere, because I don't see how ours could improve. That's still well below the 49% that received top ratings at this point last year in 2021. About 33% of the crop was headed as of Sunday, behind 40% average. Little or no rain has fallen in southwestern Kansas or Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, or in Oklahoma, East I-35 is more like what they need to say. About 68% of Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of winter wheat, was suffering from drought last week, according to the data from the U.S. Drought Monitor. In Oklahoma, 65% of the state was seeing drought. Soybean futures for July delivery added 8.5 cents to $15.93 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained $3.20 to $4.06 a short ton, while soybean oil futures rose 0.08 cents to 79.82 cents a pound. Corn futures were up 4.5 cents to $7.76.5 a bushel. Wheat for May delivery jumped 11.5 cents to 11.04¼ a bushel, and that's in Chicago, while Kansas City futures gained 11.25 cents, and it's now at $11.75.5 a bushel. The USDA export inspections were down across the board last week. Inspections of corn, beans, and wheat for overseas delivery all declined week to week, according to the U.S. Ag Department. Corn assessments in the 7 days that ended last Friday on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, total 1.39 million metric tons. According to the USDA, that's down 1.7 million metric tons examined the week prior to that. Soybean inspections from last week was at 503,414 metric tons. That's down from 604 the week before. Still, that's higher than the 277,090 metric tons accessed the same week last year. Examinations for wheat for offshore delivery fell 236,847 metric tons, and that's down from the 392,000 metric tons the week before. So the total was also down 563,000 tons inspected at the same point last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected almost 38 million metric tons of corn for export, and that's down 45.3 million tons from last year. Soybean assessments since the beginning of September now stand at 47.7 million tons metric tons. That's down from 55.9 million tons last year. Wheat inspections since the start of the grains marketing year on June 1st, and it's about up at the end of this month that we'll be done with this year's, stands now at 19 million metric tons, and that's down from 23.8 million metric tons assessed last year. Red flag warnings will take effect this afternoon for parts of Southern Plains, according to the National Weather Service. And I mean, Texas A&M has been putting out some major red flag warnings for Texas, and I'll go over them later on in the show. New Mexico. Oh my gosh, 180,000 acres have burned so far over in there, and a lot of beautiful country have burned over there. It'll take a long time. We probably won't even see it in my lifetime, but it'll take a long time for that to recover. It's just dry. Winds in southwestern Kansas this afternoon will be sustained from 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 35. Humidity will be as low as 10%. Meanwhile, in Oklahoma and Texas panhandles and in Oklahoma, winds will range from 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Humidity will drop as low as 7%. Any fires that develop will spread rapidly and will be hard to control. Outdoor burning should not be done, period. I heard him talking on the morning show this morning with the Honorable Tom Ivester and the Honorable Brewer Brothers. I heard them, I caught the last part of their show this morning. They were talking about it, and somebody said something about a burn ban in Beckham County. No, there's not a burn ban in Beckham County. Custer, Warshtall, Ellis, one other, Harmon, I think, but I went over them yesterday. I don't even remember. But anyway, there's a common sense burn ban in effect, though. We got 100-degree weather, high winds, no humidity. Just don't be that person, okay? Speaking of fire bans, yesterday the fire departments in our area were super busy. There was either three or four fires going at once. One was up there by Ray. You remember where the big fire started 4 or 5 years ago? One of the biggest fires, if not the biggest fire ever in Oklahoma, started. They got that one. I think Crawford and some other fire departments went over there to help. I know Strong City and Hammond went to help the Dewey County task force on that one. Meanwhile, Berlin got called out to this one that was out here west of town on Highway 6. They had to turn around and go back because there was another one got started on Highway 283 just a little bit north of where the Berlin fire started. So it was busy. But guess what? I think since you guys have been helping out with the fire departments with donations, they had most of their trucks running, and these were guys were on these fires, and they were all under control in a short period of time. So thank you very much for doing that, because yesterday it was windy, hot, and it was just crazy hot. And then speaking of Roger Mills fire departments, what few tickets are left, the raffle tickets to the beef, the shotgun, the rifle, the AR, Colt AR, and a gift certificate to Gardner Guns. That drawing is this Friday. They were supposed to have a meeting last night to decide where the drawing's going to be at, but obviously with two, three, or four fires going on, that got set aside. But what few tickets are left are at the Cheyenne Professional Pharmacy now in Cheyenne. That's the only place you're probably going to be able to get any. I'm out. Rusty's out. I think we're the only two that was not on the fire departments that did have any. I'm pretty sure, according to the Roger Mills Emergency Management, that's where you need to go. So you better hurry. There wasn't too many left. And again, thank you for the fire controls yesterday that you guys did, because yesterday was a bad day for fire. So anyway, great job, guys. When I get back, I'm going to go over some stuff with breeding cows. It's that time of the year. We've been calving. Some people might even still be calving, but we've been calving. We've got some things to talk about as far as vaccinations and getting your cows ready if you don't have them already for breeding, getting your bulls ready. We've been talking about it. And I'll tell you where you can go get stuff checked out if you need things to check out at Stockman's Veterinary Clinic right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
XIT Auctions will be selling 400 acres of good Kiowaw County land Thursday, June the 2nd in Hobart, Oklahoma. The auction will be conducted at the Women's Exhibit Building, selling 400 acres and three tracts. These are located 6 miles north of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma on County Road 2090. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440, or check us out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that, I understand it, I live the same life, I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Here we go. 94 degrees, heat index 97 degrees. Humidity's at 41, hanging in there a little bit, not dropping. But you know how yesterday it dropped dramatically during my show, but it was pretty muggy out there this morning, and that gave some guys a chance to get some hay put up. And there's a lot of hay out down there right now, but guess what? If it gets rained on, the rest of us thank you for getting your hay rained on. So anyway, I'm just kidding. I don't want anybody's hay to get rained on, but if it takes a rain to rain on your hay to get the rest of us rain, take one for the team. You guys are all team players. But the winds are out of the south southwest at 19 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 28 miles an hour. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. Well, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers. If you're watching on Facebook, check out this cool hat I wear for them. Serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, and their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main Street in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery. Matter of fact, rumors have it she did some teeth work on Rich Strike, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby Saturday. I'm just kidding, she didn't. But anyway, she's very capable of it, though. But ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand-new hydraulic tilt chute on-site for cattle, as well as heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animals services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor and outdoor runs. One of the few veterinary clinics out here that has the indoor-outdoor runs, which is a good thing. Full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls, which she does, and she's always on time, for me anyway, and providing 24-hour emergency services for all species. Call 580-2250-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. And thank you, Dr. Mouse, for being the hat sponsor on Happy Cap Days here on Tuesdays here in the deal. Well, speaking of that, Spencer's going to be in here pretty shortly, so let's get ready. So it's talking about Dr. Mouse. Calving season is wrapping up and transitioning into breeding season. There's not much of a break between those, but it depends on when you calve out. Like any other segment of beef production, breeding protocols require decisions and preparation to ensure we meet the goals of this operation. Nutrition status. Nutrition is a big thing this year. Us being in a drought, the grass it might be green in some places, it's not green in other places, and it's just not growing. So nutrition is very important this year. And this is the first year that I've ever caked every day to get cattle in the condition they need to be in. And I don't know that it was 100% enough, but they look better than they did 6 weeks ago when I started that program. And research has repeatedly shown that body condition correlates to many aspects of beef production, starting with conception rate. A low body condition score, which is the BCS, can cause a cow to stay in not come in heat, take longer to reach estrus, and the ability to come into that heat. On a body condition scale of 1 to 9, a cow that calves at 4 or less will have a postpartum cycle of greater than 80 days compared to a cow with a BCS score of 5 to 6, which will come into estrus by 55 days postpartum. Overconditioned cows, BCS 8 to 9, might also experience failure to cycle with lack of proper nutrition following calving. Cows may lose weight and drop in body condition, resulting in a longer postpartum interval. Cows can typically breed 50 to 60 days following calving. However, first calvers may take up to 10 days longer. Implement your vaccine program. I'm not going to go into this thing deep. You need to talk with your vet. And I know there's a lot of you guys that went out there and went to school, OSU, Texas A&M, wherever, and you become professional veterinarians, and you know what's good and right. Or that guy selling those vaccines to you, he knows more than the vet does. But just take a piece of advice. We got great vets around here, Dr. Mouse. We got my mind just went blank. Oh my God. Anyway, we got two of them down at Hobart. We got one or two at Cordell. We got Joey McConnell here in Elk City. That's where my mind went blank, and I just left there yesterday. Anyway, I had one of those Jimmy moments. All right, bear with me. But anyway, go talk to them and see and tell them how your cow have been vaccinated. Just what's going on? Because according to this deal here, that one of the most important vaccinations is the bovine viral diarrhea virus. The BVDV is a more effective prior to breeding to obtain a healthy pregnancy, mainly for first calf heifers. And the word a couple of my buddies at the coffee shop like hearing me say, second calf heifers. And so anyway, bull selection. Choosing genetics for your operation is one of the most important decisions that leads to long-term profitability. Factors that may play a role in a bull selection include breed, cost of bulls, as well as EPDs. Heifers and cows may require a different selection of bulls based on EPDs. Replacement heifers will likely need a bull with high calving ease to limit all kinds of craziness going on while you're calving. Selecting bulls will increase milk and early growth, can potentially increase profitability when marketing weaned cows. There you go on the bull center. Breeding soundness exams. Your bulls all need this going on. One in every five bulls fail a BSE. Think about that. One in five bulls fail a BSE. Have you a plan? Have you a breeding season plan? I had me a plan with these girls out here, West Elk City. We had a plan. We changed a little bit of it. We went from AI-ing to bulls, and there was nothing against AI, and it had nothing to do with that. It was other things that with the partner and the cattle that we decided that we're just going to do the bulls. But we synchronized them all. Actually, last Friday, we pulled cedars, gave them a shot, put the heat tapes on them, and as of this morning, there was only three girls left out there that didn't have a change of heat yet. But it's still today's the last day if it's a 70 something hour cycle from the time you give them shots, or not 70, but whatever it adds up to. But anyway, the reason why we're doing this is we're synchronizing our cattle, synchronizing our calves. They'll all, hopefully they'll all be born at least in the first cycle or the second cycle, if in the bulls missed them this cycle that they're going through now. Because I'm telling you, calves all born within 30 days look so much better than calves born over a 90 to 120 day period. And come sell time, they don't sort any out unless it's just a weird one. But it just, I think it's just makes things more profitable. And we calve in February, there's no doubt about that. And that's not the best month to calve in. But our calves bring a little bit more money come this fall for wheat pasture. So that's the way we do it. Not saying it's the best way. I'm just telling you how we do it, and I'm telling you the reason why we are doing it. Well, we'll take a break, come back. The famous Spencer Smith is in the studio already. He's got a smile on. He still hasn't brought me a Forag hat, but they're on order. I can hear it now. But anyway, he is with Forag, and he's got his planter tip of the week. This is number five?
Six.
Yeah, it's number six. And I look, I got a book out, and I got questions to ask you So about planters. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May the 9th. 1,162 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 387 brought 211. 6 at 462 brought 195. 9 at 592 brought 174. 25 at 848 brought 145. 5 at 877 brought 145. 3 head of heifers at 235 brought 485. 10 at 563 brought 162. 4 at 661 brought 147. 17 at 750 brought 142.50. 16 at 918 brought 129. Butcher cows were 55 to 78.50. Butcher bulls were 50 to 107. Bred cows were 850 to 1250. Pairs brought 1300 to 1575. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey. 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyard's where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Let's get over there to the right. Have you noticed me and computers, we get along really good?
Oh, yeah.
You see, We had manual typewriters when I was in high school. It shows.
I got plenty of buttons in here.
One of these days, I'm going to hit the wrong one. I know it. It's going to be bad. You're going to see Gabe come in here live on Facebook and throwing stuff at me, slapping me for, like, kind of like that horse the other day that was acting up, biting. I will be slapping him back, keep him from biting me. 95 degrees, heat index is at 95, and yep, there's the humidity. It's dropping 38. It's at 38, and the winds are still steady, 8 to 18, up to 26 miles an hour. Was it hot when you came in?
It's pretty warm out there.
Yesterday was extremely warm.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I checked the ground temperature this morning. It was about 8 o'clock when I put the probe in. It was about 76 degrees at 4 inches.
That's pretty warm.
That's pretty warm
for this time of the year.
For this time of year, yeah. I thought, and that's right where I plant. You know, in my seed bed, right where I plant. So.
So,
in the middle, it'd probably been a little cooler. I didn't check the middle. You know, we're all no-till, so it was probably.
What's optimal for cotton?
65 and warmer, but consecutive 65.
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, it's I don't know. It's just crazy year. We skipped late spring. I seen on the Mezzanet, though, Gary McManus, the guy that he's the head climatologist for Oklahoma. He's always got some sarcastic face on his Facebook page. And this morning, he wasn't sarcastic. He's just like, we just bypassed spring, went straight to summer, yep. And it's not good. He said the next outlook for the next 10 to 14 days isn't good for Western Oklahoma.
No, I mean, you know, what moisture we have, we don't have, you know, very limited. But, I mean, it with these
what
days like this.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, I know. That's stuff that falls from the sky. But, like, it, I mean, with the wind, the way it's blowing and stuff, even though we're no-till, I mean, it's still. If I got an inch rain, I don't think that's enough. I'm not going to pull a planter in the field.
Right.
Even if I got an inch rain.
Well, so. I said yesterday on the show, I was lucky. I got 1.7 inches last Wednesday down there in the breaks.
Wow.
And it's just pasture land. Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is I went down there, but see, there was nothing green down there but mesquites. At least up here in the Sand Hills and the Red Hills, it's got a green tint to the mm-hmm. grass, and a rain would go a long ways. Down there, I went down there 5 days later, and the leaves are still the only thing on mesquite trees that are green. I mean, I got rain, don't get me wrong, but if we get one tonight, and I don't know who to believe, the Mezzanet or the forecasters on TV, but there's a pretty good chance of rain tonight.
There's a pretty good chance. They were talking about how the dry line's kind of backing up a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's what we need. Yeah. We need
another pond filler, and then we need a slow 1-inch rain over about 8 hours, but we can't order it that way.
Yeah, no. That's one thing you that's one thing I was talk to you about. You can't control, you know, we can't control Mother Nature, but we can control what seed varieties we're going to plant and then when we plant.
Right.
We're going to have to play that in our favor this year.
Well, before we get to your planter tip of the week that I know everybody's anticipating, I'm not a row cropper on cotton by far. Peanuts, I understand the concept, and there's only four varieties out there, and they only plant so many here. I understand that concept, and it's got to have lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on cotton, we're going into a kind of droughty year. Do you change varieties?
I'm going to stick. I kind of have my go-to. There's about five of them. I am going to try a couple of new varieties this year just to see how they perform. But I kind of have a go-to five, and depending on a lot of that's going to depend on what time of the season I start planting also. Those varieties may change, and I may have to go to more of an earlier variety.
Right.
If I don't start planting until June 10th or, you know, June 5th or whatever.
Right. So.
But there's plenty of varieties out there, you know, and now you got dicamba-trait tolerant cotton varieties and like 2,4-D trait varieties, and there's a bunch of different options.
Oh yeah, it's interesting, especially I drive by you guys' stuff all the time to go check the heifer, so I get to watch yours because yours is dry land, and the stuff down in there where I kind of watch down in there where I live down there south of Sarah, you know, a lot of that's irrigated. It's two different beasts there.
Yep.
And I've learned a lot about cotton. not saying I've hoed a lot of cotton.
Uh-huh.
I've got up in back of those trailers and packed it before hydraulics come into play.
Oh, yeah.
For some redneck farmer being a packer to pack the stuff. But anyway, but I just never did get into the actual growing and planting part.
Yep. And I tell you, it's kind of crazy. Me and my dad were talking about it the other day. So my dad has kind of seen it go from, you know, when they were pulling trailers, shooting it into the trailer.
Yep.
Plus, you know, going to the old two-row cotton stripper, and then we went to four-row, and then module builders, you know, from going from trailers to module builders, and now we're at the round baler. So he's kind of seen it all.
What's next?
I don't know.
What could you afford to have next?
Yeah, no kidding. I think we'd probably just stick with where we're at.
Well, this is week number six.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Week number six on planter tips. What do you got going this week?
So a little bit like last week, we talked about checking the slack in your gauge wheel arms. Make sure they're not wore out. They're properly adjusted. You want to check your gauge wheels to make sure they're not split down the center. You got a good lip that's going to be spinning next to your disc. You know, replace those as needed. Also your bearings. Today's tip of the week is your closing wheel housing and your choice of closing wheels. So that housing that's directly behind your seed disc openers.
Yep.
Just because that housing is right there, that does not mean that housing is centered right over your seed trench.
Okay.
So you need to, I tell guys, put your closing wheels, your choice of closing wheels on there, and you want to pull that planter, maybe put like a strap on that closing wheel housing, lift it up, pull that planter straight, and then just drop it down and see if that looks like it's perfectly centered over the top of that trench, and then adjust side to side as needed. And you might have enough wear in there too that you can't adjust it and replace it. Those bushings may need to be replaced there. Because I mean, I've seen it to where they've been kind of off to the side just enough to where this closing wheel over here, depending on how tight you're running, it could actually be running on top of that seed trench instead of beside it on each side.
And what does that do if it is running on top of it? What happens?
Depending on how aggressive that closing wheel is, it could flick the seed out of the seed trench.
I guess it could. Good.
I mean, it can. Yeah. It's going to move your seed placement. It might change your planting depth. There's several different things there it could do.
Yeah.
And, you know, like out here, for us, I'm going to recommend running like a closing wheel that's maybe not necessarily piercing the sidewalls, just because I'm with us on limited moisture this year. Last thing I want to do is make a hole for the wind to dry us out.
Dry your seed out. That makes sense.
Yep. So I think that's, and, you know, check your bearings and your closing wheels, but it's pretty important to make sure that you're perfectly centered over that seed trench. And also, I like to check, I think I talked a little bit about seed firmers.
Yep.
And, you know, that's another good way to, whenever you have that closing wheel housing lifted up and you pull your planter forward, that's a good way to check that seed to make sure that seed firmer is doing its job and has enough tension to push that seed into the soil to where it's stuck. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, you guys have been listening for the last 6 weeks now, month and a half, you know, going over this stuff. See, farming ain't just go out there and hook on something and go get it. It's not that simple.
Mother Nature's just a part of it. Yeah,
Mother Nature's just a part of it, technology. Well, we got just a few minutes. I got a question for you. I was reading this article about planter shortages.
Mm-hmm. Like everything else?
Yeah, like everything else. Well, last year, there was 1,455 planters listed for sale last year. This year, they're down to 891 planters. And
wow.
This is just on a survey that they took. And I was appalled at some of the pricing. But, you know, a lot of guys are having to go because there's iron shortages and everything mm-hmm. else is like anything else going on out there. And I'm not talking about no two-row planter here either.
Right.
There's some, let me see how many's on this. One, two. So this
probably
would
24.
Be, yeah, this is a 24-row planter. But some of these things used are bringing $205,000 to $335,000. And these are big boy stuff, some of them, and some of them are, but everything's electric drive. Is that true with most of the planters around here? Everything's electric drive?
So some of the ones around here are still, they're ground drive.
Ground drive?
Yep.
And they were talking about this one here, this Case IH2150 planter has 350 acres under it, and it's for sale today for $335,220.
Wow. That's it. Well, see, and I remember last year, I was over at Western. I was talking, visiting with them, and I think the amount of days that they were able to order planters was like less than 30 days. I mean, it was something crazy. I mean, it was because that's all deer thought they could produce.
Wow. Well, that's just, you know, that's just crazy that somebody would spend. I think what it is, it doesn't say where. But somebody bought this planter for probably $400,000 or $350,000. They planted 350 acres and decided it was too big for their field.
Possibly, yeah.
Nobody's been known to do that, have they?
Oh, man. But my ground, I couldn't do it with all the terraces, and I couldn't.
What size planter you got?
12-row.
12-row.
Yeah.
And that's pretty common around here.
Yeah, we have that 12-row, and then I'd say 12 rows, and then which we have a 6-row also that we run for smaller.
Right.
For some of our smaller fields.
And then is yours no-till, or is it you can no-till with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you can no-till with it. Yep.
Yeah. So,
yep.
So like I said, I'm stupid to some of this stuff, and I'm sure everybody's agreeing right now.
Hey, I got a cool fact, too.
Oh, I like cool facts. Is there numbers in it?
There's one, yeah.
Okay.
So the U.S. dollar bill contains 75% cotton. One bale of cotton can make 313,600 $100 bills.
How many?
313,600.
So you're going to save us a couple bales?
Yeah, no kidding, right? Would that be nice?
Well, that was a cool fact.
I thought that was pretty neat.
Well, you're just joining us. Spencer Smith with 4AG here in Elk City is joining us. He's going to, this is week number 6 with planter tips. And next week, if he's not busy, if we get a rain and he's not busy, he's going to come in. He's going to recap his whole 6-part series, which is really cool, I think, because I've learned a lot about planters since he's come in. Like I said, I'm not a row crop guy. I'm going to hook on a no-till drill and go and drink beer and listen to the radio. And I don't have to punch buttons. But anyway, thanks for stopping by today.
You bet. You bet. And, hey, and they started planting some peanuts over there in Hydro. I was talking to Stephen King yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of guys are praying for that rain tonight. And I just got a text on the text line while you were talking. Gentlemen, seen harvesters headed south. So somebody's got a crop somewhere.
Yep.
Because I don't think those guys are going to be driving around looking for wheat this year.
Uh-uh.
If they ain't got it under pencil and paper or handshake, it ain't happening.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, that's good. Combines are heading south.
Good.
So anyway, well, thanks, Spencer.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Jimmy. Spencer Smith with 4AG. You can get a hold of him here in Elk City if you need some of your stuff for your press wells and stuff for your planter, because he knows planters. What's your number?
Sorry, I already took my headset off.
Oh, what's your number?
580-419-8473.
All right, you can get a hold of him at 4AG, not AG.
Yeah, 419 tire.
There you go. Anyway, thanks, Spencer.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back after this with Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Ron Hayes here.
Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Thanks for the information on seeing the combines headed south on Highway 283. So anyway, that's positive news, all I can tell you. Let's get this updated. Yep, it went up a little bit. 96 degrees currently, 98 is the heat index. Humidity is already down to 32%. I'm pretty sure baling's done. If you're still baling, you're shattering stuff. Wind is at out of the southwest at 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 25. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, hot, 99. We're almost there. Wind south, 16 to 18 with gusts up to 30. Tonight, 30% chance of severe thunderstorm, 66. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 90. Not so warm, but the winds return. Tomorrow night, 68. Wind still blowing. It's Thursday, partly sunny, 93. Thursday night, we have a 20% chance of thunderstorms. Friday, we have a 20% chance of thunderstorms at 91 degrees. And Sunday, or Saturday, sunny. That's why I was sunny. It's mostly sunny, 89 degrees, with winds out of the south switching from the north. So it's going to cool down a little bit. 4 or 5 degrees makes a little difference. I'm going to tell you how hot it was yesterday. I have a bunch of protein tubs that I'm trying out this new watering system and these things to grow plants in those tubs versus the garden. They're on the north side of the house, in the shade, out of the wind. When I got home yesterday afternoon, they look sad. They were very sad. Matter of fact, I won't be surprised if I lost some tomato plants yesterday. Out of the wind, in the shade, still, it was just terrible. Anyway, it was pretty warm. We got all kinds of things to talk about, and with the remaining time, I got a lady turkey hunting in a wheelchair story, but I'm going to save that and share it with you tomorrow and remind you that coming up this Friday, we got the turkey banquet's going to be happening out here at Canyon Oilfield Services, but I'll touch on some more on that tomorrow when I talk about this story. But my wife gets mad at me. Let's see here. I want to share this with you. I've seen it on Facebook, and if you can get on Clinton Fire Department's Facebook, get on it. It's their second annual Fire on the Fairway golf tournament. This should be pretty fun. It's that time of the year. We are now signing up teams and sponsors for this year's Fire on the Fairways golf tournament on June 11th, 2022. So it's not that far away, just less than 30 days. All food and drinks will be provided. Team entries include cart if needed, green fee, swag bag for every player that includes tournament t-shirt, sleeve of golf balls, golf towel, koozie, and more cash payouts. Spots are limited to the first 36 paid teams, so call or stop by the station to reserve your spot today. You can get a hold of Courtney at 580-323-2298. Courtney, 580-323-2298. Support, you guys do a wonderful job around here supporting your fire departments, and Clinton's a good one. There was one of the first fire departments that I got to I learned a lot of stuff from them guys back in the 80s when I was on the Foss Fire Department over there, and they helped us out a lot, and I'm still good friends with some of those guys that got old and had to retire. Matter of fact, I think one of them is a county commissioner over there in Custer County, Wade. He's a county commissioner. But anyway, they were on the fire department when I joined the Foss Fire Department, so a lot of good memories there. And Wade, and they just, anyway, just help them out if you can. Like I said, it's the second annual Fire on the Fairway. Call Courtney at 323-2298. They'll appreciate it. Get your team in there. Well, this is Heyday Tuesdays, and you know I love giving out numbers. And so let's check out some of the hay prices, and here's some alfalfa ones. This one, let you know, in California, hay's high, $400, $440 for good alfalfa, and that's delivered, but still. Let's check out, we got Kansas, $160 to $410 delivered, because I don't know what the going rate is right now. I knew a couple weeks ago, but with fuel going up, I figured it's $5, $6 a mile now, maybe even $7, not sure. $410 a ton delivered for premium alfalfa. They're good alfalfa's going from anywhere from $150 to $215. In Missouri, $160 to $250 on premium. In Oklahoma, $200 to $260. Both of those delivered on premium, $160 to $250 on good. Texas, $260 to $340 delivered on premium. And $235 to $260 on good hay delivered. I'm sure these prices are not reflecting this year's hay yet. Not very many guys have got their hay down yet and put up yet. That's just probably still last year's hay. Well, and on the grass part, as far as I know, here we go. Kansas is not available on premium. Missouri, let's go to Missouri, $140. Oklahoma, $90 to $145. Texas, $180 to $330. $120 to $275 on good. I got some stuff to talk about on sales. I got the stuff from Brandon yesterday afternoon, and I'll give you guys a quick overview on what happened at the sale barns. Let's start with Elk City. Last Friday, he sold 1,433 head. Steers were bringing we had some 432s. It looks like the ones in the 400-pound range were bringing anywhere from 172 to 195. 500-pounders look like they're down a little bit, 173, somewhere in there, 173.50. There's some 602s brought 181. And some 700-pounders were bringing 144.50. And then we got some on the heifers. We got, let's see here. See, I didn't get this up on my computer. Now I got to struggle. Anyway, looks like the heifers are down slightly. 400-pound range, anywhere from 157 to 165, 167 a pound. The 500-pound range were anywhere from 154 to 160. And then that's all we have. Didn't have any 600-pounders. Butcher cows are down 83, anywhere up to 83.50. Butcher bulls still hanging in there pretty tough, up to 111. Bred cows, 1375. Pairs bringing up to 1500. And at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, they had 1162 head. Looks like the on the steer part, they had some 387 pounders bringing up to 211. The 400-pounders were bringing anywhere from $172 to $192. 700-pound steers, $160. 800-pound steers were in the mid-140s. On the heifer side, they had some, let's see here, let's check it out. 400-pounders up to $166 per hundredweight. 500-pounders, $164. 600-pounders were in the 148 to 150 range. 750 to 900 pounders was in the 142 range. They did have some butcher cows over there, 7850 down. Brandon said they've just been slowly going down the last month. Bulls, butcher bulls still, buck seven. Butcher cows, 1250, or not butcher cows, bred cows, 1250. And pairs were still bringing up to 1500 to 1600. So there you have that. And I got text line lighting up all over the place. Oh, here, I got just a minute. I want to go over this with you. Foss Fire Department, speaking of the devil. Chili fundraiser, Thursday, May 26th, from 5 to 8 p.m. Chili dogs, Frito chili pie, walking Frito chili pies, water, tea, cake, brownies. Come out and support your local fire departments. Any donations will be welcome. Thank you, wife, for that. And got another text in. Local wheat hay is at 147 a ton. That's from this year. And but gentleman bought a couple loads, so it's at 147 a ton. So there we go. That's some hay prices going on. But anyway, that's what I'm going to get, if not more. My irrigation, the electric bill, is going to add on to that. So, and anyway, we'll see what's going on with that. But anyway, you guys have a great day. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Be back tomorrow. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is going to be here. I'm saying that because I know he's listening right now, and it's a reminder for him to be here tomorrow. Anyway, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.